The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Amateur Traveler, episode 696. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about mountains and mansions and musicians, hippies and barbecue and drum circles as we go to Asheville, North Carolina. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. Stay tuned after this episode for some recent news, because there is some interesting news going on this week. But now let's talk about Asheville, North Carolina. I'd like to welcome to the show music journalist Bill Kopp, who's come to talk to us about Asheville, North Carolina. Bill, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on. It's a treat. I've learned a lot listening to previous episodes.
Well, and I was telling Bill before we started recording that I, about a week ago, had a trip planned to Asheville that's gotten trumped by some other opportunities that have come up. But why should someone plan a trip to Asheville?
Asheville is really eclectic and funky. It has food, music, arts, performing arts, something for everyone in Asheville. And one of the things that's really remarkable about it is that it's not a big city. It's got a very human scale. Outside of a day trip, everything here is either walkable or a few minutes drive, and it's a lot more artistic and cosmopolitan than one might expect of a city nestled in the Blue Ridge Mountains.
Excellent. Well, what are you going to recommend for us to do when we come to Asheville, North Carolina?
A one-week itinerary, for example, I would suggest 3 days downtown, 2 days on the outskirts, and then potentially 2 or 3 days worth of day trips, because in an hour of here, by car, of course, there's quite a bit of things to see and do that are different from the experience of being in Asheville proper.
Okay. Well, you started us downtown. What are we going to do downtown?
When you're downtown in Asheville, my suggestion would be to take in as much local color as possible. Try to do and see and do the things that make Asheville unique. That means skipping stuff that you could do elsewhere, like golf and chain restaurants.
Okay.
We have golfing, we have chain restaurants. Those are great, but experiencing those doesn't really play into the things that make Asheville different from any other place.
Okay. Well, and when you say downtown, I assume we're downtown there amidst the skyscrapers.
Not really.
Okay.
I haven't actually counted, but I would say the number of buildings we have that are over 10 stories can't be more than a dozen. Skyscrapers, definitely not. It's not New York City when you're walking down the street and you're in a canyon with giant tall buildings on either side. You can actually walk from one end of downtown to the other, assuming you don't stop, and there's plenty of reasons to stop, in about 20 minutes.
Okay. About a mile across.
At the most.
And what are we doing?
The big thing to do really here is to park your car and get out and walk around. People watch, dig into our local history, which includes figures like O. Henry, quote-unquote favorite son, Thomas Wolfe, Robert Moog, pretty much the inventor of the synthesizer, Buckminster Fuller, Scott Zelda Fitzgerald. All those people have significant parts of their history spent living, working, and creating in Asheville. So there's all kinds of things connected with them. Asheville has more Art Deco architecture per capita than any American city except Miami, which is a little unusual. The reason it does is because the city was in such dire financial straits after the Depression that it, for many, many, many years, the city was mired in debt and couldn't afford to knock down the old buildings. So when things improved, those buildings were renovated and fixed back up, and now we have all these beautiful old buildings that we wouldn't otherwise have and that you aren't likely to find in another city our size.
I'm going to pin you down to be a little more specific here. So if I want to see some of the best of Art Deco, let's say, where am I going to start walking and what direction am I going to head?
Start at City Hall, which looks like a wedding cake.
Okay.
It's an unusual looking building. There are a couple other buildings right around it, but start there, and that's pretty much on the east end of downtown. And so from there, walk west.
Okay. Towards the mountain.
The mountains are in every direction. Asheville is at about 2,200 feet above sea level, but if you go in any direction, north, south, east, or west, you're going to get to mountains. It's in a little bowl. If you go west about 45 minutes, you drop out of the mountains down into the Piedmont. You drop a good 1,000 feet in elevation.
Mm-hmm.
So we're right on the edge of the mountain range, but we are in a valley. So we're surrounded by mountains.
Okay. And you say go and people watch. Best place in Asheville for people watching?
There's a place called Pritchard Park, which when I moved here 20 years ago was a bus terminal. And now it's a city park, a triangular park, probably nowhere near an acre. It's quite small, but it's a great place to people watch. There are permanent chess sets set up for people to play on. And on Friday nights, one of the most quintessential Asheville things of all, it's the drum circle.
Okay. I saw pictures of this. Okay.
Good. People from every walk of life, young, old, doesn't matter what, show up. Some of them are serious polyrhythmic percussionists. Others of them may have never hit a drum in their life before. And they all come together and beat the heck out of drums. And it's a communal experience. And it's not one of these sort of things where if you walk up with a tambourine or a drum that you've just bought or borrowed or something, you're not going to get dirty looks from the locals saying, "Who are you?" It's a very open, welcoming thing. And it's like nothing else. And it's loud, but in a good way.
And when you say drum circle, I immediately think there's a little bit of a hippie culture left in Asheville. Am I way off base here? Or
there's more than a little bit. Yes. Asheville is unique. And as I said, I've been here 20 years and I moved here from Atlanta, mainly because I really wanted to make a lifestyle change. I wanted to get out of the rat race a little bit. And my story is far from unique. Almost everyone I know who is a transplant here, maybe not most of the people, but it's quite a few of the people, they've moved here because of quality of life issues. They didn't move here because they work for some corporation that transferred them here. There's not a lot of work here. It's not that kind of a city. So it's very, very laid back. It's very bohemian. And there are a lot of 70-year-old hippies.
Okay. Well, and you mentioned some of the well-known people who have lived in Asheville, including, I think you mentioned Moog and O. Henry and Fitzgerald. And there's
Zelda actually died in a fire here in Asheville. Isn't that a lovely story?
Oh, gee.
Scott and Zelda spent a good bit of time here. And Thomas Wolfe, who wrote Look Homeward, Angel, in fact, his novels are about Asheville. They're classified as fiction, but they're really nonfiction. He just changed the names, and he pretty much almost got run out of town because
there was a little too much truth in them.
Perhaps so, yes. And that was, we're talking quite a number of years ago. Celebrated novelist, and his greatest work is from here, and enough time has gone by that all is forgiven, and the Thomas Wolfe House downtown is a popular tourist attraction.
I can relate. I grew up in John Steinbeck's hometown, who is much more popular now that he's dead. Kept writing about all the wrong people, the struggling and up and coming and not the right people. So wasn't as popular is my impression in his time. So where's the best place to get in touch with the history of Asheville?
Actually, PAC Library, which is the main branch of the Buncombe County Library downtown, has a North Carolina room with the exhibits and things. So that's kind of a cool place. Visiting some of the more iconic buildings around town, you can learn a good bit about what has gone on in Asheville's past. And there are some tours, but the best tour is also quite irreverent, and you won't leave with a whole lot of historical content. You'll just feel laughful.
And which tour is that?
That's called the Lazoom Tour.
Okay.
It's a purple bus. as often as not, there's a live band on board during the tours. Sightings often include a nun on a bicycle chasing after the bus. It's pretty wacky. And again, very, very, very Asheville. It is a big laugh. They'll do themed things around Halloween and different times of the year. But even the standard tour is, it's a riot. It's a bit like a comedy club, except you're not so much in the audience as on stage, and the stage is rolling down the A lot of time is spent at the direction of the tour guide, shouting out the window at locals.
If we're looking for something a little more serious, it looks like the tourism board has a urban trail map that I can print out along with an audio guide. If I want to know where the monument for O. Henry is, for instance, the watch from the Gift of the Magi, or one of the other spots, I can tick that out.
The things you've mentioned, each of those is probably about 3/4 of a mile from my house.
Okay.
That's a nice self-guided tour to take. There are also a couple other national companies run tour buses around town, but I would say do the self-guided walking tour on your own, and then for the riding the bus tour, do the wacky one. You won't regret it. That's a lot of fun.
Excellent. What else are we going to do downtown?
We have a lot of art galleries.
Okay.
A whole section of town called the River Arts District, which 20 years ago was disused buildings in various states of disrepair. Eventually, artists started moving into them and setting up studios and lofts. And now it has got, I hesitate to use the word gentrified, but it's gotten a little more commercialized, but in a good way, that as opposed to there being scattered art galleries here and then 10 blocks over there, you can head down to the River Arts District and then go from one art gallery to the next, to the next. And as opposed to, when I say gallery, I'm not talking about some fancy curated place with velvet robes. It's more a 100-year-old brick building that you walk into, and the artist is over in the corner working. Mm-hmm. He or she doing their sculpting or painting or fiber arts or whatever they're doing, and their work is on display, and you can actually talk to them and learn about what they're doing, and if you're so inclined, buy some of their stuff. I'm sure they wouldn't mind that. There's the whole River Arts District. There are a number of more traditional art galleries with things like blown glass downtown. And then if you've got a car, you can head over to Blue Ridge Parkway, which wraps around Asheville as it winds through the mountains. And right at one of the entrances to the parkway is a place called the Southern Highland Craft Guild, which is part museum and part display of the work of literally hundreds of artisans. And that's everything from pottery to, again, fiber arts and all sorts of things.
And when you say fiber arts, are we talking textiles?
Textiles mostly, yeah.
Okay. That's a term I was not familiar with. So I didn't know if it was high fiber art that would be much better for my colon, or what we were talking about here.
Right. Or fiber optics.
Or fiber optics. There you go.
It's not that. Yeah. If you want something high tech, we mentioned Robert Moog before. Mm-hmm. Dr. Moog passed away a number of years ago, but the company that bears his name is still here in town, hand building synthesizers. And there's the Robert Moog Foundation recently opened the Moogseum, which is a museum with hands-on exhibits of theremins and analog synthesizers and the whole history of electronic music, because he was a pioneer of that.
Well, and I'm not sure that everyone who is younger than me will know what a theremin is. But since you mentioned one, and you're a music journalist here, you can probably do justice to this. Can you describe what it sounds like and what it looks like?
If you have seen a science fiction movie from the 1950s, mm-hmm. the sound effect that goes, if you'll pardon me, woo,
or the opening sequence for the original Star Trek.
Yes, that's a similar sound. Also,
well, that is a theremin, so it's not just a similar sound.
See, sometimes the things that we think are theremins are, and sometimes they aren't. A lot of people think the most famous sound of the theremin is in the Beach Boys' Good Vibrations. That's actually something else called an electrotheremin, which is not a theremin.
Okay.
The difference being, not to get too far into the weeds, a theremin is essentially a box with two wands, metal wands, mm-hmm. sticking out of it, and you wave your hands around You don't touch it. You right. wave your hands around it. And one hand controls volume and the other controls pitch. In fact, Bob Moog's car that he used to, because I was his neighbor back 10, 15 years ago, and the car he drove had a bumper sticker that said, "Theremin players do it without touching."
Okay. Excellent. And I'll put a picture here in the enhanced version with what we're talking about here. Excellent. Anything else we want to deal with downtown? We haven't talked about food, and we haven't, oddly enough, talking to a music journalist, talked about music.
As far as food, we have a number of James Beard-trained chefs. We have a lively food truck culture here, which started more than a decade ago. You can eat anything from Ethiopian to Spanish tapas to more regional fare like Carolina Barbecue, two of the best barbecue places I've ever eaten in my entire life. And I've lived in the South most of my life. Two of them are right here in Asheville. One is called 12 Bones, which is down in the River Arts District. And the other one is north of downtown, a place called Luella's. But both of those make absolutely wonderful barbecue.
Well, and you say Carolina Barbecue. I don't know where you are in the barbecue belt here. So we're talking white sauce, mustard sauce, or red sauce.
That's correct.
Okay. All of those. Okay.
Carolina Barbecue tends to be the vinegar one, okay. but it really depends. At any of these places, you can get the South Carolina or Piedmont, North Carolina one tends to be the mustard one. Mm-hmm. They've got them all. And pork, chicken, no vegan options as far as barbecue, although we have lots and lots of restaurants that offer vegan fare. And because there's a fairly large contingent, coming back to the hippie thing.
Sure.
And the quality of life thing, there's a lot of focus on locally sourced when it comes to, well, everything, actually. Which reminds me, as far as food, another really cool thing to do that combines food, people watching, and all that, is we've got tailgate markets. There's a downtown one on Saturday. The North Asheville one is also on Saturday. There's a West Asheville one, I think, that's midweek.
Tailgate market is just an outdoor market where people are selling things from the tailgate or their pickup? Is that what's going on here?
Okay. Exactly right. And that can be artisans who are making beeswax candles, could be one of the goat farms around here. They're selling goat cheese. We've got local butchers. You can get fresh eggs. In April, if your timing is right, you can even find ramps, which are a Appalachian delicacy that's a wild plant that's a cross between a garlic and a green onion. Hmm. They're only available for a few weeks, usually in April. I literally have it on my Google Calendar to start looking for them in April. They're not sold retail. You can't go into a grocery store and buy ramps. Hmm. They're not really cultivated. You have to go out in the woods and look for them like truffle. Hmm. Eat them with someone you love because it stays with you for days.
Got it. If you're eating them alone, you'll stay alone. Got it.
Yeah, pretty much. Don't get in an elevator with someone who's had ramps unless you've had them too. When you're looking for an interesting and enjoyable meal, breakfast is something that Asheville does really, really well. You'll find a lot of times that the line runs all the way around the block at the most popular places. It's worth the wait. Hop in line, chat with the locals, and then you'll enjoy a really nice breakfast once you get to the front of the line.
Are there a couple places that are your favorites?
Absolutely. There's one called Biscuit Head. They make what they call cathead biscuits, which are the size of your fist, or the size of my fist, at least. There's a place downtown called Over Easy. And then in West Asheville, again, which is ever so slightly off the beaten path from a tourist standpoint, but worth the couple minutes drive, there's a restaurant called Sunny Point. Again, there will be a line, but there's a reason for that.
Excellent. And when I'm talking biscuits in Asheville, am I putting gravy on them?
If you go to Biscuit Head, not only do you put gravy on them, but you can put any number of kinds of gravy. There's a fried chicken gravy. There's okay. a vegetarian gravy. There's, oh yeah. Absolutely. But you don't have to. You can get Biscuit Head's version of a Eggs Benedict, which has a fried green tomato on it.
Okay. Excellent. And then if I wanted to go to musical entertainment some evening, where am I going to go?
No exaggeration to say almost anywhere.
Well, you already had the live band on the bus, so I think you've established this is a possibility here.
Yes. Asheville is pretty well known for its brewery culture. We've got over 30 locally owned brew pubs, and almost every one of them has live music. If not 7 days a week, then several nights a week. We've got the Orange Peel, which Rolling Stone named, I guess it was about a decade ago, named it one of the best live venues in the country. A lot of national touring acts come through and play there. The Diana Wortham Theater is a classy, high-end, very small theater where you can see some amazing shows. And then we've got a pretty lively club scene. A number of places in West Asheville, which is one of the places that I think the tour guides might not really talk about as much. It's basically the part of Asheville that's on west side of the French Broad River. You got to take a car to get over there. But once you get over there, there are lots of funky clubs. And you can see and hear pretty much any kind of music. I mean, people, they think, oh, Asheville, North Carolina, we're probably talking about bluegrass and folk, Appalachian traditional music. Mm-hmm. There's plenty, plenty of that. In fact, there's most weekends during the summer, there's an event called Shindig on the Green, which is a massive acoustic jam of people playing banjos and fiddles and washboards and that kind of thing. But there's also a lively scene of electronic, heavy metal, singer-songwriter stuff, lots of jam bands, pretty much any kind of music, jazz, whether we're talking fusion or pre-war hot jazz. Every kind of music that you could imagine is happening here. The joke is, if you move to Asheville, they stop you at the city limits and say, are you a musician or a yoga instructor? And if you answer no, they turn you around and send you away.
Got it. What is the name of it again?
Shindig on the Green. It takes place right in the middle of downtown, right in front of City Hall. Been going on for decades. The thing about Shindig is, even if you're not especially into Appalachian folk music, it's such an interesting experience to wander through it. The level of musicianship, self-taught or conservatory musicians all getting together and playing almost spontaneously. It's fascinating.
Well, and I see why you weren't able to pin down when Shindig on the Green is. It's all Saturdays from July 11th to September 5th this year. This year being 2020.
Correct.
For those listening in the distant future in their flying cars.
Exactly.
Excellent. Anything else we want to talk about downtown? You had a couple other days that we're going to spend doing other things. Places to stay. I'm assuming you're offering your spare room.
Oh, don't even have a spare room. Well, we've got some historic bed and breakfasts, interesting places, 100-year-old homes, big, big homes that are set up as B&Bs. Especially, there's two neighborhoods. There are a couple downtown, but there's two neighborhoods. One is called Montford, and the other is called Albemarle. Both of those have a lot of bed and breakfasts of the traditional B&Bs. I'm not so much talking about Airbnb,
right? Sure,
a different thing. There are a number of hotels downtown. They, not surprisingly, tend to be quite nice and a little on the pricey side for travelers on a budget. If they were to head just east of downtown through the tunnel on what is oddly enough called Tunnel Road, there are more moderately priced hotels and motels there, and you're still only a mile from downtown.
Excellent. Well, and speaking of historic homes, we've managed to get well into an episode on Asheville without naming perhaps your most famous feature.
I'm assuming you're speaking of the Biltmore Estate.
I was speaking of the Biltmore Estate.
The Vanderbilt family built what for many years was the largest private home in the United States. It's still privately owned. Now it's essentially a museum. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. I would say for budget travelers, they may want to consider if that's the best use of their time. Mm-hmm. It's quite expensive to visit.
$60 to $85 per person.
Yes. If you have the time and the funds, it's lovely. Mm-hmm. If you are interested in getting a taste of that, when Vanderbilt commissioned the building of the house and gardens, he brought in artisans from all over the country and all over the world, in fact. And these artisans, it was such a long project that they built homes of their own, now called Biltmore Village. It's immediately adjacent to the entrance to the estate, but it's part of the city. so you can drive through it. The homes are now restaurants, boutiques, stores, things of that nature. It's a very nice place to wander around, and you can get some of the sense of the estate without spending $60 to $80.
Okay. Excellent. Where else are we going to go outside of the city?
As far as day trips, there's something called the Western North Carolina Cheese Trail. Sort of like a winery tour or the Bourbon Trail in Kentucky, but it's farms that make cheese. 13 stops on the trail, 10 of them are within an hour of Asheville. Also, just an hour west of downtown is Cherokee, which is the capital city of the Kwala Nation, or what we used to call a Cherokee Reservation. They do a traditional performance called Unto These Hills. That's been put on every summer for I don't even know how many years, many, many, many years. And also, if you're into such things, there's a casino there. The Great Smokies National Park, the entrance to that in Bryson City is just over an hour away. As I mentioned a little while ago, the Blue Ridge Parkway wraps around Asheville. It starts in Cherokee and goes all the way up almost, it goes up to Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
You can hop on the parkway. And the wonderful thing about the parkway is it's two lanes. Speed limit's 45 miles an hour, so it's a leisurely, beautiful, beautiful drive, especially wouldn't recommend going in the fall because it's bumper to bumper in the fall, but the rest time it's lovely.
It's a little lovely in the fall as well, I assume. This is why it's bumper to bumper, yeah.
yeah, the leaves change. But Mount Mitchell, which despite what they think about Mount Katahdin, New England, Mount Mitchell is actually the highest point in the continental U.S. east of the Mississippi. And as a crow flies, that's only about 12 miles from Asheville. So it takes about an hour to get there on the road because it's all twists and turns into the mountain. There's also Craggy Gardens, which is a garden that's up in the mountains off the Blue Ridge Parkway.
Now, you say Mount Mitchell is the tallest mountain west, east of the Mississippi, and I'm a Westerner, so there's a little bit of bias here. We're talking about 6,600 feet or so.
That's a big mountain here. These are
we usually do name those out here once it gets about that tall. But another 1,000 feet less than that, we don't bother naming those. So
that, fair enough. These are much, much, much older mountains.
Yes,
that's
they are indeed.
For people who are into motorcycles, whether they own one or decide to rent one, there's something called the Dragon's Tail, which is a popular place about 2 hours west of here, which has more hairpin turns than I think any other road in existence. To me, that sounds terrifying, even though I used to ride. 40 minutes from here is Flat Rock and the Carl Sandburg House, another famous American. There's Hot Springs, a small town nestled deep in the coves of the Appalachian Mountains, and oddly enough has actual hot springs, which is why they call it that.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Class 3 and 4 whitewater rafting in the Pigeon River, the French Broad River, and a couple other rivers all close to the city. And actually, the French Broad goes right through downtown. There's skiing. It certainly isn't going to compare with places north or out west. But in the winter, maybe not this winter. This winter, I don't...
we're having that trouble too, so yeah.
There's zip lining not too far away. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that in Transylvania County, which is just about 20, 30 minutes from here, you'll find more than 250 waterfalls.
Okay.
So any of those things is worth a day trip or part of a day trip.
Well, you know, I would have to say that you have convinced me that I could go to Asheville for a week and find enough to do. Sometimes we start these shows and about halfway through, I'm thinking, this is really a long weekend trip. And certainly Asheville could be a lovely long weekend, but once we include the surrounding neighborhoods, it seems like there is plenty to do.
Yes, definitely.
Anything else you want to make sure we cover while we're talking about Asheville?
Well, I would suggest as far as maybe something to give a miss is if you're interested in the breweries, and we do have a lot of artisanal breweries here, I would skip the pub crawls, skip the pub cycle, skip the big corporate-owned breweries, and go to the smaller ones.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them will open at 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, even on weekdays, some earlier, and you will get beers that you can't get in cans or bottles that are only, I pretty much have a rule, except when I'm in Europe or somewhere, I don't drink beer that was made more than 5 miles from my house. There's no reason to do it. There's literally hundreds of choices. So our title of Beer City USA is well-deserved.
I would have to say I also never drink beer that is more than 5 miles away from where I am, but I also never drink beer that is less than 5 miles away from where I am.
Okay, well, yeah.
Don't like the taste of beer, but a lot of the listeners do, including members of my family. So a couple of questions we haven't talked about yet. You mentioned the fall. Best time of year, you think, to come to Asheville?
Spring and fall are the best times. So summer is lovely because it very rarely breaks 90 degrees Fahrenheit here.
Okay.
If you're interested, if you're one of those people who wants to go to a destination and wants as few fellow tourists as possible, February is the secret season. That's the locals say that's when we get our city back because tourism is our primary industry here.
Sure.
But spring is absolutely beautiful. The flowers are in bloom. Everything turns really, really green. The weather is wonderful. And fall, the leaves are brilliant. And the weather is really, really nice. The days are long and it's great.
Best day of the year to be in Asheville. More fun to be in Asheville on?
The opening day of Warren Haynes' Christmas Jam, which is late November. Warren Haynes, former member of the Allman Brothers Band and celebrated guitarist for his own group, Government Mule, and a whole bunch of other things, grew up here. And every year, except last year, every year for the last 25 odd years, he's put on a big benefit concert, and he brings a lot of his famous friends to town for a big, big, big festival. And there are satellite mini festivals that take part along with it, featuring all local artists. If you like music and you want more of it, then you know what to do with. The first night of his festival is a great time, and that's in late November usually.
Excellent. Are we ready to get to my wrap-up questions?
Sure.
You are standing in the prettiest spot in Asheville. Where are you standing? What are you looking at?
You're not standing, you're sitting. You're sitting in a comfortable chair with a beverage in your hand on the back porch of the Grove Park Inn. A historic inn just north of downtown, the foothills of one of the mountains. You are looking over North Asheville, and in the foreground is North Asheville. In the medium distance is downtown, and pretty much everywhere on the panorama are the mountains that surround the city.
Excellent. Now, you see, I'm sitting there with a beverage in my hand. You haven't mentioned where I might sit and have a cocktail, and yet I know from our discussion beforehand that you've been writing an article a week or so about the cocktail scene in and around Asheville?
An article a month.
Okay.
The last couple of years.
Still more than I have written, I would have to say.
There's a number of rooftop bars, and most of the nicer restaurants have really, really, there's a very lively craft cocktail scene. Mm-hmm. There are funky places where you can get PBR in a shot, and there are other places where you can get really, really interesting cocktails that feature a Fernet, which is an American version of Italian Amaro made with all locally sourced herbs and spices, locally made tinctures, all sorts of interesting things like that. You can get drinks that you won't be able to get anyplace else.
And let's just pretend that I'm not the sophisticated person you know me to be, a PBR. I can't even pretend that I know what we're talking about here.
Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Oh, sure. Okay.
For a long time, it was known as a cheap beer. Now it's something that it's a hipster thing.
Yeah, you're really taking me back to my childhood when you're mentioning Pabst. Okay. Excellent. And one thing that makes you laugh and say only in Asheville, besides a nun chasing a bus on a bicycle.
That's the main one. That's one of the main ones. Only in Asheville, I would say the drum circle.
Okay.
It's so spontaneous. It's so organic. It's so fun and carefree. If someone tried to find a way to commercialize it, I don't think they could. It really, more than anything else, is emblematic of this laid back, let's have a really good time and not take things too seriously. But you're as likely to see someone in a three-piece suit there as you are to see a 70-year-old guy with long, long gray hair and full tie-dye. Anywhere else seeing that kind of juxtaposition, one might scratch their head. But here, you shrug and go, yep, that's Asheville.
Got it. So as Berkeley is to California, as Austin is to Texas, Asheville is to North Carolina. Am I on the right track?
You're not the first person to make that observation, okay. Unfortunately. But yeah, very much so.
Excellent. And if you had to summarize Asheville in just three words, what three words would you use?
Artistic, eclectic, funky.
Excellent. And our guest again has been music journalist Bill Kopp. And Bill, you don't write about travel, but if people want to read your articles about music, where would they find them?
They would go to musoscribe.com.
Excellent. Well, Bill, thanks so much, first of all, for pitching me an episode, but also for coming on and telling us about your love for your adopted hometown of Asheville, North Carolina.
It's been my pleasure, Chris. Thanks a lot.
This is an odd week to be talking about travel. At least we're talking about domestic travel because I am putting this show out right after the travel ban was put in place or was announced for Europe because of the coronavirus or the COVID-19 virus. We did a latest episode of This Week in Travel, which will come out just ahead of this episode, which will talk all about that. So I'm not going to talk much more about that, but obviously a lot of travel plans are up in the air. The only thing not up in the air are actual airplanes these days. So listen to that episode of This Week in Travel to learn more about our predictions or the things that we have heard as we try and track this story. Again, we have launched Patreon for Amateur Traveler. I did want to thank Anthony, who signed up this week for Patreon. I'm actually particularly appreciative of people who are supporting the show right now. I announced it, I think, in a newsletter, but I don't think I mentioned it on the show, but I work for a startup called BodesWell.io. In fact, you can check it out. We just put out a personal finance planning software in beta that you can try for free right now during this period if you want to see what I do during my day job. But we missed a round of funding, and so I'm actually on 75% pay cut, hoping to get to 50% pay cut instead. So those people who are supporting the show are particularly appreciated right now. Assuming that we're still traveling this year, there is still an opening on the Amateur Traveler trip to Turkey in September. So I'm still hoping and planning for that trip to come off. Also, I am planning to travel this year to both Greenland and the Galapagos. And if you join the amateurtraveler.com/trips group, you can find out more details about when I'll be going in case you want to come along. Oh, and reminder that there is now an Amateur Traveler store, and thanks to the people who've supported the show by buying a t-shirt or a sticker or whatever as well. With that, we're going to end this episode of Amateur Traveler. If you have a question, send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com, or better yet, leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com, and thanks so much for listening. One more cathedral, I got to sit in one more cafe. I know that I should be heading home, but maybe not today.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcast FREE.